It's true. Well, I'll say a little bit first. Okay. So today we're going to talk about linear transformations and how to undo them. And I'll explain what all those things mean. But before I get to talking about linear transformations, let's just talk about undoing some of the math operations you've done. All right? So suppose I have a number, maybe 1. And then I add 2 to it. What do I get? Nice, okay. And suppose I want to get back to 1. What do? You subtract 2. And that works for any number, right? You start with any number x, you add 2, and you get x plus 2, and you go back, and you get x. So this is the same as this. And we've just undone addition with subtraction. We could do the same with multiplication, right? Suppose I multiply x by 3. I get 3x. And how would I go back if I wanted to get back to x?
Divide by 3.
All right, exactly. Let's divide by 3. So division is like multiplication backwards. And just maybe in a weirder one, what if I took x and I cubed it? How would I go back to x? Yeah, I could take the cube root. And if you haven't seen cube roots before, that's okay. Right, so the cube root is like the undoing the cube. All right, and then one really weird one. What if I multiply by 0? What do I get? Is there anything I can do to get back to x? Add x, yeah. That would work. But right, I mean, we can't really divide by 0. So a lot of things can be undone, but some things can't. So this can't be undone. All right. So with that, just maybe as a little bit of maybe motivation, this talk is going to be about undoing things and doing things backwards. Like on the computer, if you want to undo something you've done, suppose you just accidentally delete an entire paragraph of your essay. What do you do? Exactly. Maybe you freak out a little bit. But now, Control-Z won't help you everywhere. There's no Control-Z in life. Suppose you spill maybe like chocolate milk on your computer. Is Control-Z going to help you? I wish. Probably not. What would it look to Control-Z your entire day? What would it look like to do your day backwards? Like, you take a shower, that's like, you start clean and you go in the shower and you come out all dirty and stuff. When you're doing the dishes, you just do an excellent job of making sure that you cover everything with old food. And what about going to school? You systematically forget things that you know. It's preposterous. So there's a video clip I wanted to show based on this premise. It's from this old BBC sci-fi show, comedy, Red Dwarf from the 90s, which I don't recommend, but this is a pretty... All right. So Red Dwarf is the name of the spaceship. It's set 3 million years in the future, and it follows the travels of the last human alive, whose name is Lister. He wakes up after 3 million years in some sort of stasis. He was like in a coma for a while. It follows the list of characters. There's a hologram named Rimmer, an android, Crichton, and this strange humanoid cat who in the 3 million years, in the last 3 million years, managed to kind of evolve from a regular cat into this kind of human-like guy who retains a lot of cat characteristics. He like preens. He like licks himself all the time. He's pretty vain. He likes to play with shiny things. So it's like exactly what you would think a cat as a human would be. The characters find themselves. This is an episode called Backwards, where the characters find themselves in a world much like Earth, except that time runs backwards. And the first clip, the characters Rimmer the hologram and Crichton the android go to a restaurant to get a bite to eat. All right? All right, and one more clip. This is the last clip of the show. The characters take a taxi back to their spaceship, and you first meet the cat. Which is, I guess it's right here. Sorry? Here they are. All right. So we're going to talk about doing linear transformations backwards today. That's the plan. So first, let me tell you maybe what a linear transformation is. And let's start with some examples. All right. So rotation is one kind of linear transformation. Where you take something and then you rotate it. So here you have your cat. Another linear transformation is dilation. Another one is just stretching things in one direction. So here your poor cat has been stretched to be maybe twice as tall. And you can also do flips and stuff like that. So you see that these are mirror images of each other. Right. So linear transformations are things that you can do to the plane. These are things that you can do to the plane where parallelograms get sent to parallelograms. So let's just maybe draw a parallelogram on some of these. So here, let's start with this, maybe the one, a parallelogram. It's the nose, the eye, the ear, and maybe, there we go. And you see it gets sent to a parallelogram here. Oops. And there's one other special thing that we require about a linear transformation, is it it sends this one special point kind of to itself. So here we're going to send the cat's nose. The cat's nose always has to stay fixed. So when we rotate the cat, its nose won't move. Okay? Yeah, exactly. Right. So here you got your nose and your parallelograms. What happened to them? Here. Yeah.
It just basically got an increase in area and perimeter.
Yeah, it did. Right, so the parallelogram just got bigger. But in this one, actually, did the shape of the parallelogram stay the same?
Yes.
Yes. Now this one's going to be different. So how about the stretch? Let me maybe draw a different parallelogram. Let's maybe draw this parallelogram between the eye, the cheek, and the... Yeah. What happens to this parallelogram? Does it stay the same?
No.
No. It gets stretched.
It points on the left and right side. Keep the same x values. And points on the up and underside get equally changed y values.
Precisely. All right. Okay. So, so the first thing to do, I guess, is to get comfortable with some of these linear transformations. I do happen to have another little thing to show you guys. There's your cat, and he's on a stretchy piece of rubber. And so these are like linear transformations. We can stretch the cat. or we can stretch it this way. That'd be like a vertical stretch by a factor of 2. And we can stretch it on other directions. We can stretch them kind of more side to side. And I have it on very good authority that cats don't like to be stretched. All right. So if you look maybe at that pretty thick packet you've got, I think it starts with drawing linear transformations. And there's more of these things than you could possibly do. I wanted to give you guys maybe a lot of things to do so I don't have to talk too much. You can kind of see the graph paper below, but you want to draw, like, what does it look, all these different linear transformations. So there's like dilation, and what does it look like to make a happy face twice as big? Because that's what dilation is making everything twice as big. You could draw a happy face that's been rotated 90 degrees clockwise. You can do stretches where it's by a factor of 2 and two, like in one direction, trying to try like a little bit stretched out. You can flip it. You can flip it over any line, right? You don't have to flip it just this way. You can flip it like that way. And there's this one weird transformation we haven't talked about yet, which is this skew thing. So a skew transformation, it's easiest to see what it does to maybe a square. It takes a square and it like pushes it sideways and it turns it into a parallelogram, but it's no longer square. This would be like if you had a stack of books and you just pushed everything kind of that way. And so a cat that's been skewed, sorry about my cat skills, would look something more like this, though its eyes are going to stay on the same horizontal level. Right. Okay. So, yeah, just take maybe about a couple minutes to work on that, the first two pages, and then we'll do something else. Sounds good? Okay. Oops. Yeah. I haven't finished yet, but there's one more aspect of this that I wanted to talk about, which is like, we'll just do it on the first one. So this is dilation by a factor of 2. And so everything gets bigger, right? Today we're going to use kind of a convenient way of talking about linear transformations that will help us get a picture of what these things are doing. So we're going to start with a dot with two lines coming out of it. Orange it is. And this is, if you look to the right, you have the things labeled 1 and 2. And this is where maybe if you have two colors, it's going to start helping. We keep track of linear transformations by what they do to kind of to like two little vectors, or you can just think of these as arrows if you want. So when we dilate everything by 2, what's going to happen? The arrow is going to get twice as long, right? And this one too. And this is kind of how we're going to talk about linear transformations for the rest of it. So this is 2 times as long, and this is twice as long, too. And so if you want to fill out this right-hand side as well, what happens to these arrows, that's going to be a little harder. But that'll probably ultimately be an easier way of keeping track of these things. So does that sound okay? Okay. Do you need any more colors? The reason why you have, 15 pages of worksheets is so hopefully you won't be bored sitting here. So that means that you don't feel bad if you don't get all the way through, okay? So now I want to talk about like on the next worksheet, this thing, the area scale factor. And while I'm talking, if you want to add, maybe ears and whiskers to all the happy faces on the previous worksheet, you're welcome to. There kind of will probably be a bit of a cat theme to this talk. That kind of was an accident, but there probably will be. It's not that I really like cats. I'm actually pretty allergic to them. They give me massive asthma. But I find cats a lot easier to draw than dogs. So cats it is. Maybe you could tell the cat theme. All right. So we said that a linear transformation sends any parallelogram to a parallelogram. Right. And so we can compare the areas of these parallelograms. So we can start with an easy one. Let's see. So we want to compare the areas of the parallelograms. So first, let's figure out what parallelogram we're talking about. So maybe in this happy face, we're talking about the area of this parallelogram. It'll be a nice, boring old square. And the one over here. Mm-hmm. All right. If the area, if this is of side length, well, let's go down here. This is why this is going to be a useful notation, is that once we have these little, this little what happens to arrows, we actually get a parallelogram. We said, suppose this is of side length maybe 1, okay? What's the side length over here now? It was dilation by a factor of 2. So this is going to be 2 and 2. So what's the area of this one?
4.
Excellent. Yeah, so we have, now we've gone from 1 to 4. And how do we get from 1 to 4? We multiply by 4. And this is going to be our area scale factor. It is going to be 4. So this is a parallelograms, they distort areas, or linear transformations distort areas, and they distort them for any parallelogram you might have. So if we had drawn a different parallelogram, I just need more colors. Maybe like this one over here, and we draw that over here. This one is still going to be 4 times bigger than that one. And actually, we can even talk about the size of the cat. If the cat has size maybe 3 over here, how big will the cat be over here if the area scale factor is 4? Cat of size 3. It's going to be like, yeah?
12.
Right. Right, so all areas get scaled up by this scale factor, which is 4. So the cat's nose is 4 times bigger. Its little beady eyes are 4 times bigger. Now, it's pretty easy to find the area of parallelograms when they're squares, right? Finding the areas of rectangles and squares, you're like, yeah, no problem. But comparing areas of parallelograms that are a little different can be kind of, that are harder, can be weird. So let's just talk maybe about a method of doing that. And this is actually why you kind of have graph paper. Let me find my sheet. All right. So suppose I have like this linear transformation. This is going to do some pretty weird things to cats, right? It's going to like really squish them in one direction. But we can so let's look at the areas of these parallelograms. So let me just put a fake. Let's put these old ones just fake in at the bottom here. Okay? And so this is going to be an exercise in cutting up parallelograms in kind of some sneaky ways. So let's just cut this parallelogram right along here. Okay? And let's move this chunk down to here. Does everyone kind of believe? Well, I know I didn't draw it very well. There we go. That the parallelogram kind of has the same area now? If I take out this top chunk? Yeah. So here's your parallelogram now. We've gone from this one here. To this new one. Here. And we can do the same thing again, right? We can make a chop, we can cut it up here, and we can move this chunk over here. And so then this is a way of kind of cutting up parallelograms in a sneaky way to turn them into rectangles. And then once you have a rectangle, you can find the area of that, right? So why don't you guys give that a shot? This area scale factor is kind of an important thing in linear transformations. And people will be walking around to talk to you guys about it. And just do maybe pages 1 and 2. Sound like a plan? Any questions?
Aren't we supposed to measure these?
So if you look really hard, this is graph paper. And so hopefully you won't have to measure them. You can just count the number of boxes inside. The rulers are more for like drawing straight lines than for any measuring. Because, I don't know, who wants to measure anything? I'd rather count a box. All right. Yeah. It seems like a lot of people were stuck. So if you're stuck, you can look up here. If you're not, then you can just keep on working on it. This is a little bit tricky. So let's just talk about number 3 just a little bit. So hopefully you can do some more of them after. Here, let's just first make them colored, because colors are just a little better. So the first thing you want to do is you want to stare carefully at the graph paper and make sure that you actually get something that's a parallelogram. Can you see that on number 3, this first kind of arrow goes 3 over and 1 up, okay? So here you want to go 3 over and 1 up. And here we have our parallelogram. Okay, so that's, we want to kind of compare the area of this sucker to this sucker. So the first thing we did is we looked and we tried to move the top chunk down. So we kind of want to maybe, we can draw in, we'll draw in this and this. Because we had, this is just a longer version of this arrow. This arrow points in this direction and that one points in that direction. And let's see if we can cut this here. And if we cut this here, we can extend this down and move this to here, right? Then your parallelogram is this one. And this is your new parallelogram. After you've moved the top chunk down to the bottom. And then you know how to take care of that. Let's just chop this down and move this chunk over to here. So we get this. Now what's this base length? 2. And what's the height? So what's the area scale factor? 4. Nice. Okay. So that's how they all go. Markers. But if you want some sustenance, you can. We'll take maybe the break now, since there's been more people who've come in. I hear. And that they send parallelograms to parallelograms. We represented them like this by what they do to arrows, and we said that they send parallelograms to parallelograms, and we can compare the area of the parallelograms, and get the area scale factor. In the second half, we're going to talk about undoing them. This is the question of, suppose you find some poor cat on the street that's been skewed, and he just looks like this. He's very sad. How do you save him? How do you help the cat and send him back to his original good size, like, where he's his usual size, and he has no longer skewed, rotated, or anything like that? All right? And you actually know the answer to some of these things already. Suppose I take this cat and I rotate him 45 degrees clockwise. How are you going to help your cat?
All right.
45.
Yeah, let's rotate him back. All right. So you've saved the cat. And suppose you take your cat, your poor cat, and you stretch him. Oh. All right, someone else. How do you save the cat?
You can either stretch him horizontally also, or you can stretch him vertically by a factor of negative two.
Okay, so there's so you said that you start with your stretched cat. Here's your stretched cat. Poor cat. He's been all stretched, and you said we could stretch him horizontally too. All right, then he'd be bigger, right? So that brings us back to a similar problem. What if you take your normal-sized cat and you just make him bigger in all directions? He doesn't really like that. What if you make him smaller so he's like a little teacup cat? He wants to be a big cat. How do you save a cat that's just been made twice as big?
Make him 2 times even smaller.
Exactly. Right. So we just shrink him a little bit. Put him in the dryer on hot. It solves, and washer on hot. It solves all sorts of things. All right. So that's what we're going to talk about in the second half. Right. So we're going to add a new tool for understanding. We're going to add a new tool for understanding linear transformations. And this is something that you might have already guessed at. And this is going to be a grid. Okay? Zoom out. Alright. So let's just maybe look at number one. I could do this on the board instead. Should I do it on the board? There's already graph paper here. Okay. What colors? The green and red. So the idea is actually that a linear transformation, we represented it by what it does to two arrows, right? It sends this orange arrow to this orange arrow and this red arrow to this red arrow. But we can actually extend it to a whole grid. So let's just draw. You can do this on your paper with me if you want. Where you see that, like the first arrow, just color that, just make that whole arrow green. And where you see this vertical arrow, we can make this one red. And then kind of, we can just make a grid, right? So we can, at the tip of this one, we can add some more red stuff. And we can do every two, we can draw a red thing. And we can go like this. And we can go this way too, if we feel like it. And here we get a nice grid. And we can ask, what is this linear transformation do to grids? So over here, let's do the same thing, okay? We can start with the green arrow again. But the idea is that you want to make sure that you start the new... Alright, should I start with another red line here or no? I should make sure I start my first red line at the tip. Having some technical difficulties. All right, there we go. Right, this is where I want to draw my next kind of point. And so you can count the boxes. It's every four you want to draw a vertical red line. All right? So these linear transformations kind of they tell you what happens to a grid. And this is going to be really helpful, because this is going to help us go backwards and help some cats that have been skewed in unfortunate circumstances. So we can look. This is what this is about. So over here we have a point A. You see this point A over here? And we can look on the grid, and it's from this special point, this origin. It's 2 over and 1 up, right? So what happens to point A? It still starts from here, and we go 2 over and 1 up. And this is going to be point A. And point B was down here. That was just one down. There's B. Point C, you can see that here. That's 2 up, and that goes here. And point D goes here. Right. Okay. So the nice thing about, so this is one thing we can do, is we can go forwards. But we can also go backwards. And this is what, is, so you'll do some stuff going forwards on the grids thing. But then you get over to going backwards, the next page, aptly named, and you can do the same thing. We start with your grids, which is the same grid, so this is just to make it neater, maybe. Boom, 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 boom. And then you can do the same thing backwards. If A was here, which is halfway between the first two, maybe your A came from here. And if B was here, this is where B came from, and C came from here, and D came from here. And so you can pull, you can go backwards and say that this is where these points came from in the original grid. And then the last step in this is just draw. So we start, we finish here. And that's what you see right here. The line from A to B. And just draw where that came from. Right? So this is where it came from. Is this little thing where we go one over. And you go two up. So you see that those two arrows that I just drew from A to B on both sides, that one gets mapped to that one. Does that make sense? Kind of? Okay. Well, just maybe, right. So the plan is, I'll give you guys some time to do the grids sheet, and then also maybe spend some time on going backwards. Maybe do the first page of the grids and then skip to going backwards and then go to grids page 2. So it's going to be some flipping around maybe. Does that sound like a plan? All right. And people will be walking around to talk to you guys. And if you need colors, we have them. Know that not all you are done, but that was the plan, right? To give you guys maybe enough stuff not to be too bored. Right now we're going to talk about doing multiple transformations. And this is something that you kind of, you probably know. You could take your cat and you could rotate him 90 degrees clockwise. And then you could rotate him 90 degrees clockwise again, right? And so we can, right, so if we rotate him 90 degrees clockwise and then do it again, what's happened to our cat? 180, you mean? Oh, sorry, 90-90, right? Yeah.
Actually, he's 90 counterclockwise.
Oh, sorry, you can't see my cat. My cat's upside down. Yeah, if we take our cat, and we rotate him 90 degrees clockwise, and we rotate him 90 degrees clockwise again, now he's upside down, right? He's 180 degrees clockwise or counterclockwise. We could stretch the cat this way, and we could stretch the cat this way. And then we could just make our bigger cat, right? Right, so let's talk about how... so that's the picture that you have in your head of... that we could skew our cat after we've made him bigger. He'd be really pissed at you then. And we could rotate him after, too. But let's kind of talk about how we'd represent this with these goofy grid pictures. Which are kind of helpful, actually. All right, so here, what you see, darker, maybe a little? A darker. Zoom in. All right. Is you see two different transformations on top of each other. This first one, which we're gonna is a stretch, and then we're going to include a rotate, okay? So we only need to draw the grid on the second one. So let's draw our grid. I've made green always to be the one. So right, so we have this little this little map says that this little square, this one here, that square, is sent to this square. Right. Oops. Having some color problems. So this square is sent to this square, and then we can copy little copies of all each square a bunch of times, and we get our grid. Sorry. Yeah, here's the grid over here. And then we can do the same thing over here. And we can copy the grid a bunch of times. And we can get the grid here. Right? And now you see that kind of greens went from being going horizontal to going vertical. Because this is a rotate. Yeah, what does this map do? Sorry, what does this little map do? It takes, what did it do? I wish I had a different color. It took this one. All right, now orange is green. Because there's not a, I didn't have green chalk. It took this. To this. So you can think about picking this up and then rotating it 90 degrees, right? And that's what this was. So it makes sense that maybe the green went from being horizontal to vertical. Because when you rotate 90 degrees, that's what happens. Right, so you only need to do the grid on the second one. But now we can actually, this is what we're going to do. All right. So copy these points. This one says that this point, 1, goes to this, right? We're going to send this point, A, to this point, A. And just move A down to here. And you can just, do you see that this is A right here? That's the same arrow. Goes from there to there. And that this is B. Here's B. And there's B right here. So I've copied and pasted kind of this set of arrows onto this grid that's below me. And this is not like copying grids. This is just like move that thing down to the origin. But now what we did before, I can tell you where A went, right? Where does A go in the new picture? We start at the origin. Here's our origin. This is our special point. And how do you get to A? You travel along the green 2 units, right? So we travel along the green in the direction of 1, 2 units. And we get to A. And how do we get to B? We travel along the red in 1 unit. And we get to B. So now we see what happened to A and B starting off in this whole thing. First, it got stretched, and then it got rotated. And so now we can draw this composite. So we're going to draw, here's this, and B. And what happens to it? It gets sent to now A. Is twice as it goes up to here, just copying and pasting the picture, and B goes to there. And you can kind of think about this. First, you stretch it, and then you rotate it, and so now it's kind of stretched in the vertical direction. The second problem is going to go the opposite way. What happens if you rotate it first and then you stretch it? Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be different? You guys can answer that. So, well, then show me, okay? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so we'll play this kind of game for a little bit longer, and then we'll get to the punchline about inverses. And then you guys can enjoy the rest of your Sundays. But I wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about inverses, because that was the title of the talk. And I want to come through with what I promised I would do. Whether you like it or not. Right. Okay. So here's the idea. All right. Remember when we talked about this thing? When we talk about, suppose we take x, right? And we multiply it by 2. And we get 2x. And then what do we multiply it by to get back to x?
1/2.
Okay. An inverse is something that takes you back to the same thing. So with the grid picture, we start with this, our favorite grid. An orange arrow this way and a red arrow this way. And then suppose we stretch it by a factor of 2. This is stretch, a horizontal stretch. Stretch times 2 in this direction. All right. The question is, what transformation do we do to start go from this transformation back to our original transformation, which is this one? So you guys, what should I do? How would you go from this back to this? Yeah. Okay. So we can stretch it. Which would you call this a stretch? By 1/2. So that's more of a compression, right? We're going to take the whole picture and we're going to squish it. Like what you said we should do to the cat when our cat got stretched, right? So this is about saving cats that have been skewed and stretched. Right. So that's kind of the idea. In this kind of today, there was usually a way that we represented our transformations, right? We usually started representing them. We liked transformations that started this way with our usual standard grid. And we wanted to know what the new grid was. And here's, yeah. So you want to not necessarily, you want to basically be able to represent your inverses in the same way as going from your basic grid to this. Now, you actually have already done this. Maybe you didn't know it. When we did this going backwards thing, if you got through any of this, the idea was where did A come from? And A came from this point here, which was 1/2. And this is a way of representing. So you have a transformation that goes. We represented this same transformation, the stretch, by going 1/2 to this way. And the inverse, all we do to get the inverse is we flip the two pictures, right? We flip this picture and this picture, and that's the inverse. Right? We just go here and we flip them. So that's the inverse. And then we can multiply inverses. So this is a little harder, but it's kind of, so you could draw, if you want, what the inverses are of these transformations, or not, you know, kind of whatever, or you can just kind of guess at them. So these transformations are the same ones that appeared in the going backwards, so there shouldn't be too much work to do. But I did want to talk about one transformation that you can't undo. Right? And this is like the plays the role of multiplication by 0. Okay. So I said that that linear transformations take parallelograms to parallelograms, right? And they preserve that one special point.
Just to make sure that second stretch was just horizontal stretch.
Yeah, it just was a... Yeah, contrary to the picture, it was just a horizontal stretch. There's this one special transformation, which is kind of weird. We can take this. This is also a linear transformation. Suppose we take this vector here. Suppose we take this red vector, and we make it go the opposite way, but in the same line. Or we can move it this way, if you like that better. So Suppose you make the red vector just a, like a longer multiple of this first vector. Okay. So over here we have our parallelogram, right? We got our square. And suppose this has area 1. Can you, is there a parallelogram that's spanned by these vectors, that you get by these vectors? Not really. There's almost one. It's kind of like a, it's a totally flat parallelogram. Can you think about taking a parallelogram and just stepping on it? Yeah. This parallelogram has zero area. All right? So what's the area scale factor here? Nice. Okay. If you've squished your cat down to a line, does your cat have any hope?
No.
No. Yeah. Just like you can't divide by zero. You can't kind of, you can't undo linear transformations that have an area scale factor of zero. But every other cat can be saved. And that is the hope. And this doesn't happen to cats too often. So, inverses are kind of interesting. I'm losing my papers. Sorry. Yeah. I'll give you guys just a couple last minutes before we end for this. There's probably not too much time to talk about this, but I just want to tell you a bit about what we've done. This whole linear transformation, have you guys seen this maybe? If you're in high school, you saw linear transformations in geometry a little bit, is that right? And if you're maybe a junior, you've seen linear transformations in pre-calc, or you saw matrices in pre-calc, is that right? And you hated them. Right, this actually was matrices, the whole game. But actually, matrices are linear transformations. And linear transformations are really useful in math and in science. All of quantum mechanics, if those are words that you like, is actually phrased in kind of linear transformations appear there. And in lots of other areas of physics, anytime you have forces, it's linear transformations. I like linear transformations. It's a cool subject area, and it's nice to be able to know how to undo something. So if you do any of the problems, maybe in the last little bit, why don't you think about what transformation is, why don't you think about number 3 first, which is what transformation do you do to unskew a cat? Because I've talked a lot about skewing these poor cats. So maybe think about that a little bit. Maybe see if skewing it the other way will help at all. You got 5 minutes, and then you can go. Or you can go now.